This morning, I'd like to speak a little bit on obedience, something that obedience doesn't seem to be first thing that we want to learn about when we're kids or even as adults. It's difficult to be obedient, I find. It's something that we want to be. We're very proud by nature, and we think that we know what is best. And to be obedient sometimes means to be submit ourselves to others. And so, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to John 13. I'll read 12 to 17. And in John 13, Jesus is here just before Passover. He's washing the feet of the disciples, and this is where Peter says, "Do not, Lord, you cannot wash my feet." Then Jesus says, "I must do this, otherwise you have no part with me." And then Peter says that, "Then wash my whole body." And when Jesus was speaking here, he was saying that you have no need of washing just your whole body, because you already were washed in the blood of Jesus, but you only need to wash your feet to be cleansed by the word of God, to be corrected by the word of God. And so in verse 12, it says, "So when he had washed their feet, taken his garment, and sat down, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.'" Our Lord never insists on having authority. He never says, "Thou shalt." Jesus came meek and mild into the world, not shouting and demanding to be served, but he came looking to serve. He came to be obedient to his Father. He leaves us perfectly free, so free that we can spit in his face, as men did, so free that we can put him to death, as men did, and he will never say a word. But when his life is created in me by his redemption, I instantly recognize his righteousness and his right to absolute authority over my life. It is no longer I who have to do this or that because I am worried that I'm going to be disciplined. As a child, I did what my parents said a lot of the time, not because I wanted to please them or I wanted to do what they asked. I knew that there would be consequences to my disobedience. My obedience wasn't out of love, but was out of self-preservation of my own backside. It was to serve what was best in my own interests. I was living under the law. But when Jesus is revealed to us for who he is, God in the flesh, we recognize our sin and that it was me who spits in Jesus' face. It was my sin that sent him to the cross to die. I no longer do what the Lord asks because I have to do, because I want to please him. I do them out of love for him because thou art worthy. Oswald Chambers says, if when I meet a man who is more holy than I myself, I do not recognize his worthiness and obey what comes through him. It is the revelation of the unworthy in me. God educates us by means of people who are little better than we are. Not intellectually, but holily, until we get under the domination of the Lord himself. Then the whole attitude of life is one of obedience to him. It is your yours and my own pride that keeps us from obedience. David writes in Psalm 51:16-17, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." To be broken before the Lord, to lay all that you are bare before the Lord, and he will lift you up and strengthen you. If our Lord insists upon obedience, he would become a taskmaster, and he would cease to have any authority. He never insists on obedience, but gives us examples. He shows us by his own obedience to the Father. Jesus never asks us to do anything he has not already done for us. The revelation of the growth of a believer in grace is the way that in which we look upon obedience. We need to rescue the word obedience. The world doesn't seek obedience because they see it being as weak. But obedience is only possible between equals. It is a relationship between Father and Son, not Master and Servant. John 10:30 says, "I and my Father are one." And in Philippians 2:8, Paul speaks of Jesus saying, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." The son's obedience was as a redeemer. That was Jesus as a redeemer, because he was the Son, not in order to be Son. I want to encourage you today, Jesus is our example. He shows us true obedience. If we want to be obedient to Jesus, we must be continually washing ourselves in his word, laying aside our own pride, and look to serve others before ourselves. Then we will be a sweet-smelling sacrifice before our Lord and God.